This afternoon we get to read New Testament chapter John 14, the first 26 verses, one of the most precious chapters and loved chapters in the Bible by God's people, John 14. One of the chapters that Jesus spoke the night before his crucifixion. Hear the word of the Lord. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So far the reading of God's holy word. We will be thinking especially of verses 16 to 18 and verse 26 in reference to the Holy Spirit, as also spoken about in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20. And I invite you to turn with me to that catechism lesson as we continue to look at the summary truths of the gospel based on God's word. Lord's Day 20 in the back of the Psalter. Just one question and answer on the Holy Spirit. Page 48 in the back of the Psalter. Here we are asked, the Christian is asked, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Answer, first, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he has also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. So we want to think this afternoon about the precious Holy Spirit. Your congregation belonging to Christ, we begin this afternoon a new section of sermons, this time in connection with God the Holy Spirit. We've thought about, in line with the Catechism's Bible instruction, about God the Father and his works and ways. And we've thought about God the Son and his works and ways. And now we'll be thinking about God the Holy Spirit and his works and ways. What a God confessing Christians confess and acknowledge: the triune God. The triune God of salvation. He's most excellent and glorious, gracious and good in all his persons and in all his ways, their ways. As David the psalmist says in Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Our readings from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, especially the verses 16 to 18 and verse 26, along with other scriptures, form the basis of this sermon, as well as the Bible-founded instruction of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20. The theme for the sermon, based on that all, is, "O precious Holy Spirit." O precious Holy Spirit. Isn't this what all God's true people testify? O precious Holy Spirit, in view of his person, in view of his mission, in view of his ministry. To see and to say, "O precious Holy Spirit," how important that we rightly understand the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not simply a force or a power or a feeling from wherever. No, but he is a person. Indeed, a divine person of the Trinity, within the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God himself, no less than God the Father and God the Son. And this comes out in the text of John 14, especially in verse 16. It comes out many other places too, but we'll just focus on that now. Where Jesus says to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever." When Jesus speaks here of the Holy Spirit as another helper, the word for another that he uses is a Greek word which means specifically another of the same kind. Allos. There's another Greek word, Eteros, which means another of a different kind. But the Holy Spirit is an other comforter of the same kind as Jesus himself. As one study Bible rightly noted in this regard, quote, "The Spirit of Christ is the third person of the Trinity, having the same essence of deity as Jesus, and as perfectly one with him as he is with the Father. He's another helper of the same kind." So too, the question as given in question and answer 53 of the Heidelberg Catechism beautifully states, "What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit?" The answer begins with powerfully confessing, first, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Now, why is this vital for us to understand, even as we begin to think about the Christian's testimony about how precious the Holy Spirit is? Well, because you see, when Jesus left this earth to go to heaven, we didn't then lose the divine presence here on earth. No, but now the divine presence, holy presence of God, triune, is among us and even in us, by the person and work of the Holy Spirit. knowing and believing that the Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person, the question to ask is, are you and I respecting Him and praising Him as a person? Or are we despising His person, or thinking of Him mostly as just a feeling or a force? For instance, are you remembering your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you reflecting? If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I need to respect Him as a person with my body, from inside and out. Outer parts, private parts, every part. Are we respecting the Holy Spirit as God and the bodies He's given us as the temples of the Holy Spirit? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, let's go on to think about this more. Let's go on to think about how amazing, really, that even before Jesus' crucifixion and His once-for-all sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, the Savior foretold of giving the Holy Spirit. Imagine this. It was the night before His crucifixion when the people would shout, "Away with this Jesus! Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" But even as that was going on, Jesus says, "I will give you another Comforter." Isn't that amazing grace for sinful people like us in this fallen world? After Jesus would accomplish His saving work on the cross, He promises His disciples the Holy Spirit would be sent down from heaven by God the Father and by Himself as Savior of sinners. He would be sent down to work in people's hearts and lives. Jesus promises never will He leave His people as orphans here on earth. We read it in the Scriptures. He'll never leave us without any divine person and assistance in all our life down here. Shouldn't we be humbled by this and moved by this? Imagine if God, the Holy Spirit, would not have come or would not have been sent. What would have become of the whole plan of salvation and of all who were trusting and following the Lord, even those disciples that night? Well, the whole plan would have failed, and all trusting and following the Lord Jesus would very quickly have lost all hope and stopped following the Lord Jesus. Everything would have come to nothing of the whole gospel way and plan. But you see, God is faithful. He's faithful, triune Savior God. And the work which He has begun will, by His grace, be fully done. So another helper is sent us. You could also translate another comforter. Even as Jesus would soon leave this earth. And that comforter is none other than God Himself. As one put it, by ascending into heaven, Christ opened the way for the coming of the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and made room for that Spirit's gracious, almighty, tireless follow-up work. Thanks be to God, then, for another helper. And that this helper is no less than God the Father and God the Son. You know what, congregation? This gives so much hope for us and for the future. Yes. Till the last day. There is a divine presence and power working here on earth. A divine person now with us still. And by us. Here and throughout the world. And this divine person makes sure that the gospel of God as revealed in Christ Jesus, that it will not come to nothing, but it will come to everything that God planned and ordained from eternity. There is hope and help for this perishing world of sinners still, as long as the Holy Spirit is with us down here in this fallen world. Do you get this with me? Dear congregation belonging to Christ, does it make you say to, "Oh, precious Holy Spirit"? Just to drive home that we need ever to realize the Holy Spirit is God Himself. Let me quote here yet what our Reformation Father stated also in Article 11 of the Belgic Confession. That article is entitled, "The Holy Ghost is True and Eternal God." It's short, but it's powerful. Our Reformation fathers confess there, quote, "We believe and confess also that the Holy Ghost from eternity proceeds from the Father and the Son, and therefore is neither made, created, nor begotten, but only proceeds from both, who in order is the third person of the Trinity, of one and the same essence, majesty, and glory, together with the Father and the Son, and therefore is the true and eternal God, as the Holy Scriptures teach us." Now, dear congregation, I've already hinted at it, but shouldn't we just pause here to worship God for the giving and sending of the Holy Spirit here on earth, to serve as the third person of the Trinity, the Savior God, Comforter in this world? We will talk more in a moment about the mission of the Holy Spirit here on earth, but that he is come here, congregation, as God, and that for the divine mission given him, the divine gospel mission, should we not ever praise God triune for this blessing so important and so indispensable for us? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3b, without the Holy Spirit on earth, leading and guiding us as human beings, not one of us, including not one of us here, would ever call Jesus Lord. And Paul means with that, doesn't he? That apart from the Holy Spirit and his regenerating and renewing work in our lives and hearts, none of us would ever come to know and confess Jesus Christ as only Savior of sinners and Redeemer, Sanctifier in our lives. No wonder Paul exclaims in praise to God for the Holy Spirit, as he does in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11b and 12. Do you know what the inspired apostle says there? Listen, "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God." Oh, precious Holy Spirit. Considering that he, as a third divine person of the Holy Trinity, is given on earth to serve as another helper like unto Jesus himself, along with God the Father. It is so rich, truly. And maybe to see this more, just listen to this poem that I came across in my studies this week for this sermon. The poem expresses worship and thanksgiving for the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, would remain on earth even to work in the hearts of sinners like you and like me, to work in my heart. You can actually sing this poem to the tune of "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." And it was exhilarating and encouraging to do so in my study this past week. I've printed copies of it for you. I'll leave it on the chair if you want to later sing it to God by yourself or with those in the home with you. Here's the poem. "Dear Lord, and shall thy Spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine? Unworthy dwelling, gracious guest, favor astonishing, divine. When sin prevails and gloomy fear and hope almost expires in night, Lord, can thy Spirit then be seen here? Great springs of comfort, life, and light. Sure, the blessed Comforter is nigh. 'Tis he sustains my fainting heart. Else would my hopes forever die and every cheering ray depart. Whene'er to call the Savior mine, with ardent wish my heart aspires, can it be less than power divine which animates these strong desires? What less than thy almighty word can raise my heart from earth to dust and bid me cleave to thee, my Lord, my life, my treasure, and my trust? Let thy kind Spirit in my heart forever dwell, O God of love, and light and heavenly peace impart, sweet earnest of the joys above." Does this poem find an echo in your heart this afternoon, even as we consider the sermon theme based on Scripture, O precious Holy Spirit. Yes, not only in view of His person, congregation, but think next of His mission. His mission. What does Jesus tell us is the mission of the Holy Spirit? Well, in John 14, 16 to 18, we learn the Holy Spirit's mission is to be the divine helper. You could also translate comforter to God's people, to serve as the Spirit of truth, the agent of salvation in our lives, and to abide with us and to dwell in us and never to depart from us, leaving us as orphans in this world. Verse 26 expands on this with Jesus saying, but this helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Which Christian doesn't need this? Which Christian doesn't long for this? And rejoice in this, that there's a Spirit to remind us, to guide us, to bless us, to lead us into all the truth. Do you hear what it is to be the main mission of the Holy Spirit, sent of the Father and of the Son to this earth? To be the agent of salvation in our hearts, bringing that salvation that Christ has accomplished for us to appropriate, to believe, to be participants in. Notice from the text, the mission of the Spirit was and is not to focus on Himself. No, but rather it's to point others to Jesus the Savior, and to all His gospel word and worth, and the way of coming to know Him by repentance and faith. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Reformed people are critiqued for not sufficiently glorying in the Spirit of God. But the truth is, truly to glory in the Holy Spirit of God means ever to look to and to confess Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, and to be enthusiastic about Him and embracing Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says as much. Also in John 16, two chapters after John 14, where He says to His disciples, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, what will He do? He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it or show it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore said I that He, the Holy Spirit, will take of Mine and declare or show it to you. What do we learn here? The mission of the Holy Spirit, dear congregation, was and is to take of the plan of the Father in redemption and the work of the Son with redemption, and to bring it home to the minds and hearts of sinners by means of the gospel word brought into our hearts through the mighty working of the Spirit, even in as many as are ordained to eternal life. And this explains too how and why the Holy Spirit was poured out following Jesus' life and ministry here on earth after His resurrection and ascension into heaven. We know the Holy Spirit has always been there. He's always there as God, also in Old Testament times. And He was instrumental in the creation of the world and in the coming of Jesus Christ as God incarnate. He was instrumental in every believer's life in the Old Testament already. But when Jesus went to heaven, then God the Father and God the Son sent Him out full steam, as it were, in full power as the Holy Spirit, Pentecost Spirit, to go throughout the world seeking and saving sinners by the gospel word. He's a divine agent and heart applier of the gospel, the finished gospel work of the Savior. The Holy Spirit's mission is ever to guide sinners to Christ and to bless His people to more and more embrace Christ and become transformed by Christ and become Christ-like in their lives. It's all about Jesus. Listen here to what one wrote correctly about the Holy Spirit mission in this world. Quote, the work of the Holy Spirit is a clear pointer to the work of Christ. He, that is the Holy Spirit, stands in the wings, in the side, wings, as it were, while Christ stands in the center stage. I am just a finger pointing the way to Christ. That's what the Spirit is confessing and what the Bible confesses about the Spirit. He's always pointing out to Christ and what it means to know Christ, how we know Christ, and what it is to live for Christ and the way to live for Christ. So any spiritual experience that does not have us draw closer to Christ and His gospel word, we can know, congregation, it's not an outpouring of the Spirit of Pentecost. And this is an insightful quote, really, and faithful commentary. And it should help us also be discerning of the spirits of the age. Also, when there are movements to the present day that are all focused on the Spirit and all about the gifts of the Spirit and having His gifts and something of His power, gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, etc., etc., to do amazing things. But it's all more in attraction to the Spirit and an attraction to ourselves. Look at ourselves filled with the Spirit rather than focused on Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Congregation, being Spirit-filled and Spirit-empowered means looking to Christ and knowing Christ and loving Him and living for Him. And in saying that, we by no means discredit the Holy Spirit in any way, no, or being filled with the Spirit and having the power of the Spirit, but we need to recognize it's all about Jesus when that is real and vibrant in our lives and in our churches. We really can say, actually, can't we, that the whole Trinity, biblically speaking, focuses on Christ as Savior of sinners, as the promised Messiah, Redeemer, given by the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit. It pleased the Father, we read in Colossians 1, verse 19, that all fullness should dwell in the Lord Jesus. Plus the Holy Spirit, you know, He gave us the Bible, all 66 books. And in that book we read that the Bible is for this purpose. The Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, testify of Christ. It's all about Christ. That's the purpose, the Spirit's mission. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, what became prominent was the preaching and teaching of Christ as only Savior of sinners. There were signs when He came first, just to have us know He came with power. When we focus on those signs when that happened, instead of on the end result, the preaching of Christ throughout the ends of the earth, we're missing the boat. We're misunderstanding the Spirit and His mission. As Peter said in his sermon in Acts 4, verse 11 and 12, being a Spirit-filled preacher, he preached Christ crucified and risen again, and he said, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, and it has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, without the Holy Spirit's accompanying work of illumination on the gospel word, and regeneration by that word, and sanctification through that word, no person would ever come under conviction of sin, nor lifelong conversion to God. But the Holy Spirit's divinely given mission, thank God, is to work with supernatural divine power, saving sinners, sanctifying His people, and driving home that gospel word to us more and more about Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, in whom alone is our salvation from beginning to end. In John 16, verse 8, Jesus teaches, "When He that is the Holy Spirit is come, He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." When we are Christians, do we not thankfully acknowledge that that is also our experience by God's grace through His Spirit and Word? With the Spirit's mission, He will cause people to, by the Word, really hear the message of the gospel and not be able to get out from under that message. Doesn't the Holy Spirit use the word, law and gospel, gospel and law, to prove beyond question our guilt and our condemnation before God left to ourselves, and to show the only remedy, to flee to Jesus and to trust and follow Him and His Word as the only refuge and place of safety. And the Holy Spirit, when He ministers to us, He brings us in that way. Any and every sincere calling to God in faith and repentance is always the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. So Paul declares too in Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, most emphatically and ecstatically we can say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, that He was sent of the Father and of the Son to awaken sinners and to draw and to lead them to the Savior of sinners by the Word of God, blessing it to our hearts and lives. I ask you this afternoon, is this your Christian testimony too about the Holy Spirit? Yes, like with the Christian of the Heidelberg Catechism, who when asked in question and answer 53, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? The answer given then is, what I believe about the Holy Spirit is, first, that He's true and eternal God with the Father and the Son, and secondly, that He has also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me or remain with me forever. You know, in church we say sometimes, we're in the workshop of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced it in church? That the Holy Spirit ministers under the Word and with the Word to make you by a true faith partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort you and abide with you forever? When you do, then you say, what a beautiful confession about God the Holy Spirit the Catechism gives us. How right on in the Christian experience. Then you say, oh, precious Holy Spirit. Do you say that? Precious Holy Spirit. Yes, also in view not only of His person and His mission, but think next, thirdly, concerning His ministry. His ministry. And with this point, let me just mention several details of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Details we can never praise God enough for, and have reason always to pray God for in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Think for one, in regards to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how it is almighty. It's almighty. Yes, in almighty divine power, the Holy Spirit opens spiritually blind eyes, deaf ears, hard hearts. And He raises the spiritually dead and the hopelessly lame of themselves. Does not every Christian have reason to say, thank God for His almighty ministry in my heart and life? For who can turn the heart of stone here in my flesh? Who can turn it or change it into a heart of flesh? But God, the Holy Spirit. Who can make us, who can make me, you, from spiritually dead to alive? But God, the Holy Spirit. This week I read the following quote from the late R.C. Sproul in reference to the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Quote, God doesn't just throw a life preserver to a drowning person. No. But by His Spirit, He works effectually, and what He does in sinners' lives, He, says Sproul, He goes to the bottom of the sea, and He pulls a corpse from the bottom of the sea, takes him up on the bank, breathes into him the breath of life, and makes him alive. And that's so in line, congregation, with what Scripture teaches us about our deadness in sin by nature. When you know the deadness of sin we are in by nature, then you thank God. Not only God the Father Almighty, and not only God the Son Almighty, but the God the Holy Spirit Almighty in the application of salvation in our hearts and lives. Isn't the Spirit's ministry also almighty in opening the Word to us and opening us to the Word? Thank God the Holy Spirit and His enlightening almighty power on the Word, having it make impact and a lasting effect in our lives for good. Won't all true Christians confess this in praise to God, the Holy Spirit, given us by the Father and the Son? Because the work of the Holy Spirit is almighty and supernatural in His life-renewing work by means of the gospel congregation, we can have so much hope still whenever anyone is under the gospel ministry. There's great hope because the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. And it counts also for us here now in church this afternoon. Praise God. Not only is the Holy Spirit almighty in His ministry, but think next how He's always faithful in His ministry. Faithful to all God's Word always. Faithful for those in whom He ministers in the name of God the Father and God the Son. Faithful to the Father and the Son in all He does. Faithful that all whom the Father elected from eternity and whom the Son saved on the cross, He will actually minister in and to, that they become saved by the Holy Spirit without exception. The Spirit being always faithful to the Word which He Himself has given is such a guide and guard also to all errors and false teachings and false leadings. You know, any teaching, any guidance contrary to God's Holy Spirit inspired, infallible, inerrant Word can never be a leading of the Holy Spirit. Let us get that straight and be aware of it. In our area, there's a Roman Catholic Church called Holy Spirit Catholic Church. And I went by it the other day and I thought, that's an oxymoron. Because the Catholic Church openly, consistently, doesn't go by scriptures. So it's not Holy Spirit Catholic Church, though they want to call it that. It's not. It's exactly the opposite. And I don't say that to be disrespectful, but just to be clear. If someone's living in false teaching and contrary to the Word of God, he's not being led by the Spirit, no matter what he or she might insist. The Spirit being always so faithful in His ministry on earth here gives reason for His people to say with assurance too that the work He has begun, yes, will by His grace and saving and sanctifying power be fully done. And isn't that comforting? How encouraging this is when knowing the work of the Spirit in your life, convicting you of sin and drawing you to Christ and His Word as your one and only hope of salvation. He's faithful in His ministry by His Word. Are you someone truly thankful for the Spirit's ministry so powerful and so faithful? And what about the fact that the Spirit's ministry is also so searching and penetrating? You know, when the Spirit works in us through His Word, He does an uncovering work. He exposes to us initially and more, really, the ugly reality and extensiveness of our sins and sinfulness. Yes, the depths of it and the deceitfulness of our sinful hearts by nature. The Spirit does this searching work to keep us from pride and from self-righteousness and truly to lead us in daily repentance and deeper repentance and in true faith and more faith before God our Savior, and that more and more as life goes on. When we are true Christians, don't we say, and have reason to say, oh, precious Holy Spirit, also for His searching ministry, His convicting ministry, His converting ministry in our lives, not just initially, but all our life long when truly saved? You know what, congregation, if anyone here can feel comfortable living in any sin, and you don't mind living a double life, covering up conscious evil doing in whatever way in your life, you should not think you are being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit exposes our sins and doesn't let us live with them any longer. Praise God for a very tender conscience and heart that He works in our lives. When you and I are convicted of even the so-called least sins, those kinds of sins that perhaps no one else knows about, but which we know before God and our neighbor are contrary to His will. Praise God when you are sorry for those sins and every sin. I say to you as minister, as your pastor, I don't ever want the Holy Spirit not to be convicting me of sin in my life. And isn't this what all God's true people will say by God's grace and Spirit? Furthermore, isn't the Holy Spirit's ministry in His people's lives a ministry ever encouraging and comforting, encouraging and comforting in the faith? Even as the Lord by His Spirit and Word empties us of ourselves, strips us down to nothing in ourselves, doesn't He work to build us up and to show us the boundless riches and endless fullness of salvation in and through Christ, the Savior of sinners, even for sinners like you and like me? Doesn't the Spirit make plain once and again in the lives of God's people, no matter the problems or the struggles or troubles or sins or evils we face or sorrow or grief we deal with, the Spirit by the Word shows us how with Jesus we can find release and relief. In and with Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, there is to be found what? All manner of consolation for us. Yes. For soul and body, in life and death, for time and eternity. Consider here the benediction of Paul in Romans 15, 13. There the apostle of Christ declares in God's name by the Holy Spirit, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In the verses John 14, 16 to 18, the Holy Spirit is called another helper, another divine helper, comforter, one who comes alongside of us in our every need, showing us from the Christ of Scriptures, the crucified and risen Redeemer, how in Him there is all fullness dwelling, from which we may draw in all our salvation needs, in all our life needs, and in all our eternal needs. How wonderful then this ministry truly is of the Holy Spirit. As one testified, "Eternal Spirit, we confess and sing the wonders of thy grace. Thy power conveys our blessings down from God the Father and the Son. Enlightened by thine heavenly ray, our shades and darkness turns to day. We learn the meaning of thy word and find salvation in the Lord." Must we not say too, besides all this, the Holy Spirit in His ministry for us and in us in Jesus' name, besides it being an almighty ministry and an ever faithful ministry and penetrating and searching ministry and encouraging and comforting ministry, isn't it also, praise God, an equipping ministry? Equipping, yes, equipping us with the fruit of the Spirit to live graciously godly lives, transformed by His Spirit and empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, rightly to discern the truth and clearly to speak the truth in submission to God's Word and in love to our neighbor, and to live godly and not ungodly, and to resist sin and pursue righteousness. You know, every faithful remembrance of God's word and testimony of the same to others in our lives is always by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does not the Holy Spirit move and equip us to pray? And even doesn't He pray for us with groanings which cannot be uttered beyond expression, in divine intercession for us, that we might know the gospel way and show it and walk it in truth and love day by day, from within and out? Is it not the Holy Spirit also who, by the many promises in God's word, gives us hope and confidence, congregation, in sowing the gospel seed at home, at work, and wherever we can? We may know, beloved, the Lord's word will not return to Him void as we seek to teach and practice it and speak of it in our covenant homes and in our extended families and within the church and beyond, wherever He places us and positions us to be a gospel light. Don't we have to say, where Christianity thrives in spirit and truth, that is only always by the Holy Spirit and His initial and ongoing helping ministry in our lives. One commentary expressed the Spirit's blessed ministry the following way, quote, "This ingoing, ongoing, outgoing power of the Holy Spirit creates a new community of Christians who are doing the work of the Lord in this world. The Spirit enlightens our minds so that we can test the spirits of our times. He is the power behind the church's proclamation of the gospel. He propels us into the world to be Christ's witnesses in our daily lives. And he blesses the sowing of the seed." Is this not also what you and I experience in our life? Giving reasons to be so thankful to him and testifying, yes, over and over, "Oh, precious Holy Spirit." Yes, considering his person, his mission, and his ministry. How we should be careful and prayerful, therefore, always to honor him and not to live grieving or quenching or resisting the Spirit and his gospel ministry for us and in us and through us. And isn't this, again, what all God's true people will surely be praying about and caring about? Not to despise the Spirit, but to be filled with the Spirit and ever led by him and his word in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless us as Christian church, that we be a Holy Spirit-filled congregation, and that our services be Holy Spirit empowered and Holy Spirit blessed of God. Only then will we worship God in spirit and truth and be blessed under the convicting, converting, consecrating, transforming power of the gospel word of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Even as we close, let me just mention yet, what a blessing when we are baptized. Baptized, whether as covenant children or as adults come into the church from the world, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This means the whole Trinitarian Godhead in all three divine persons pledges to us that turning from sin and trusting and following him, he will minister to us from out of his fullness and saving power as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, in our every need, throughout the whole of our life, and then forevermore in the life to come. What a gospel call this gives also to our covenant seed, our youth, children and youth growing up in the church. How favored you are. It's the Lord saying, I will serve you as triune God, also as the Spirit. How it should lead us to repent of sin and trust and follow the Savior God, Jesus Christ, and not to ignore him or despise him. What will it be like? Think about that. What will it be like in the world to come for God's people, forever shepherded and guided by God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No one can fully say what it will be like, but it will be far better than all of us together could ever imagine. And it'll be perfectly, endlessly so. Let's not despise the Spirit. Pray, oh precious Holy Spirit, work in my life too. So also with this sermon then, let no one of us rest without being able to confess in spirit and truth what the Christian confesses in Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. And without you and I testifying truly, privately and with others, over and over again, oh, precious Holy Spirit, considering his person, his mission, and his ministry. Just let me say yet, you know, his ministry services are free, all for Jesus' sake alone. They're purchased by his blood for sinners. And if you seek it, you will find it. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" After this sermon about, oh, the precious Holy Spirit, is there any one of us who will not ask for the Spirit for ourselves and for so many we know who don't know him yet? Oh, let's say and testify in spirit and truth, we love you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God of our salvation. Amen.